This is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, ordinarily Wednesday is open lines, but today we're going to have Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster with us, because I'm going to be having to drive up to Santa Rosa on Friday evening when Bob was supposed to be with us, so that I'll be there for Saturday, where we're giving a couple of talks to a program that's being put on by the Eagle Forum of California. Now, if you're interested in going and hearing Dr. Jerome Corsi and Phyllis Schlafly and some other excellent speakers, why, of course, the number to call, and you have to have reservations, is 707-539-8393. That's 707-539-8393. They're going to have a couple of lunch and dinner going to be served there, and it's going to be an excellent, excellent program. And we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience, Northern California, will be wanting to go. And again, if you're interested in going, the number is 707-539-8393. But let's get to our special guest this evening, Bob Chapman. It's always a pleasure to have him, because he talks about what's going on financially, and I think this is so vitally important. We've been mourning about this for years, pointing out that no system where you had a fiat money system has long endured. In fact, Aristotle admitted there is absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money, as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Well, they didn't have it in ancient Greece, then we don't have it now. Certainly not a godlike wisdom of kings, and we certainly don't have perfect authority. And what we have done is created a fiat money system and tremendous prosperity. But, of course, along with that, we've destroyed the value of our currency. Inflation is rampant, running 10 to 12%, despite what you're being told by the government, which lied to us about just about everything, and tries to convince us that the core inflation is 2%. That's why Social Security recipients only get a 2% rise, because the core inflation is only 2%, and 2.1%, I think, is their figure. And then they don't have to pay the people who bought the indexed treasury bills either. You see, what a wonderful way to cheat the people, and all you have to do is lie about it. And so they lie about inflation, and then the value of the dollar is falling in relationship to other currencies. And many of our major financial institutions are insolvent. We're sitting on somewhere between $500 and $700 trillion, that is $1 trillion in derivatives. And of course, the whole house of cards is on the verge of coming down. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's nice to be here. You know, in all the things you've covered there, you don't know where to start.
Well, I want you to, this is your program, so you start and tell us the good news.
Good news? You'll have to tune into another program. We only deal in reality here.
All right, fine. Well, anyway.
And truth. And I guess the good news is that those who are invested in gold and silver shares and coins and bullion are doing very well. Those who have purchased dehydrated and freeze-dried foods are lucky, because those prices are going up 20% this week. And we all know that the cost of defending one's family has gone up exponentially for the last 3 years. And so all those who get in and did what they should have done are now in a better position than they would have been otherwise. But I think that the story of the moment, which has been a important story over the last couple of weeks, is not only the ongoing and continual
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Bob, you go ahead and tell us the story of the week. Go ahead.
And not only the credit crisis, which is now worse than it was 8 months ago. But to accompany that now, among many other things, unfortunately, is the purchase of Bear Stearns by J.P. Morgan Chase with the U.S. Federal Reserve, and I don't want to mislead you, the Federal Reserve is privately owned, but it represents monetary policy for the American people. And they have made arrangements to assist J.P. Morgan Chase in the purchase of Bear Stearns because supposedly Bear Stearns was ready to go under. First of all, the debt ratios at Bear Stearns are minuscule compared to those at J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers, which are around 145-1. Merrill Lynch is 45-1, and Bear Stearns was about 35-1. About 2 weeks ago, the president of Bear Stearns, Mr. Schwartz, was on CNBC, and he said that his firm was doing okay. They had problems, but nothing that was insurmountable, and that they had $17.7 million in cash. And by some miracle, in the next 2 days, the people who had lent the money to Bear Stearns simultaneously withdrew it. Now, things like that just don't happen. There is no such thing as coincidence. And so, the Bear Stearns company was bereft of all their cash. And that meant that they would need assistance. And so the Federal Reserve decided to give a loan or a grant to J.P. Morgan Chase, which incidentally is the largest shareholder in the Federal Reserve. And they decided that it would be appropriate to give $30 billion to J.P. Morgan Chase and guarantee the buyout of Bear Stearns. And so this went forward. And interestingly
Hold that thought, Bob. We've got to bring our stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply talking about the buyout of Bear Stearns, and simply with a couple of weeks ago, why the chairman of Bear Stearns was on the CNBC, and it said that, you know, they had a few problems, but nothing insurmountable. And, of course, their debt ratio was somewhere in the 30s, 35, whereas you're talking about J.P. Morgan, well over 100, Goldman Sachs, well over 100. I mean, these people are really leveraged. Bear Stearns wasn't that badly leveraged. But somebody put out the order out that everybody was to call in their loans to Bear Stearns, and suddenly the $17 million that they were sitting on, giving him security, suddenly was gone. And then, of course, there were demands for money, and Bear Stearns didn't have any more money. It was all lent out. And they couldn't get the money from the from really any place, and so they faced bankruptcy. And the problem with Bear Stearns is written massive amounts of derivatives. We're talking about something like, well, I've heard $13 trillion of derivatives. If Bear Stearns went down with $13 trillion of derivatives out there, which is insurance on bonds or other payments, why, the whole house of cards would come down. So according to Bob, why, J.P. Morgan, which is the largest holder of Federal Reserve stock, because the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank, why, the central bank, the Federal Reserve, offered to lend J.P. Morgan some $30 billion to, and of course in return they'd get a lot of the bad paper that Bear Stearns had. And go ahead, pick up the story from there, Bob.
Well, the $13 trillion, actually it's 13.4, that
when you're talking about trillion dollars, you know, trillion dollars here, trillion dollars there, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
You sound like Ed Dirksen.
Right. He was talking about billion, now we're talking about trillion.
I know. It was a different time and a different age, and we outlived them. But anyway, 13.4 trillion for Bear Stearns. But that is not important. And the reason why is that J.P. Morgan Chase had 77 trillion. Now, if they thought that Bear Stearns was in trouble, what would they think of the position of J.P. Morgan Chase? Now, the monies that Bear Stearns was missing, didn't have, that happened because the insiders, the Illuminists, the elitists, decided that they wanted Bear Stearns out of business. They had the fourth or fifth largest brokerage firm in the country. They had been a thorn in the side of the Illuminists for years, doing their own thing, refusing to join the Bund, so to speak. And in 1998, when LTCM went under, which is the long-term capital management, went bankrupt, the banks came in and they bailed it out, investment houses, etc. And it was about $7 billion. And Bear Stearns refused to get involved in it. And so, in part, this was payback. They wanted them out of business. They wanted their business. And they also, I believe, wanted their offside derivative positions, because many of the derivative positions were with, that Bear had initiated, and vice versa, were with Morgan. And Morgan wanted those positions over with them. And the reason is that Morgan is further out on a limb than Bear Stearns was. Now, $2 per share was offered to the company, which is $286 million to buy out Bear Stearns. It was worth a minimum of $7.7 billion. So they jacked the offer up to $10, which made them look like a bunch of crooks, which they all are, including Bear Stearns. And that comes to a little over $1 billion. So they're still stealing the company. And the management of Bear and the officers on the board, they're all for the deal. And the reason why is, were they allowed to go bankrupt, they would have to give back billions of dollars in bonuses that they just got a month ago.
And
they
I think that's
why they're cooperating.
I think it's so important for our listeners to understand how crooked these people are. I've heard that they've given the executives something like $5 billion in bonuses. And, of course, if the company went bankrupt, they'd have to give back the $5 billion. So they're willing to sell out their stockholders. Of course, I hope there's going to be all sorts of lawsuits against them. But can you imagine the executives of a company that's facing bankruptcy getting $5 billion of bonuses? Is that about the correct figure, do you think, Bob?
Well, first of all, it's unconscionable under the circumstances. And second of all, you're breaking up pretty badly. I know your voice quite well, so I can pick you up. But I'm getting a lot of natural interference.
And you're coming through very, very
and
well.
And your volume is low as well.
Okay, well, we'll up that volume just a little bit. But anyway, go right ahead.
So anyway, so what they did is they tried to steal the company. Now, it's illegal for the Federal Reserve to give this kind of a loan to Morgan. And the whole thing smacks of an assassination, if you may. And I think there's going to be a Senate hearing, which I don't think will go anywhere, because the investment banking brokerage industry is in control of the Senate and the House as well. through their donations for political campaign funding.
In other words, you're talking about the finest politicians that money could buy.
Exactly. And so I don't think anything's going to come of that. But there are lawsuits in the works. And what I would like to see is for the lawsuits to go forward. Because from my point of view, the company is worth a minimum of $35 to $40 a share, and maybe as much as $70 or $80 million dollars a share.
It was up to $170, I think, $160, $170 a share just a year or so ago.
Say that again, please.
I believe that Bear Stearns stock was about $160 a share or $170 a share a year or two ago.
Yeah, that's right. It was $170, $71.
Right.
And, but I want to see them go into discovery, and I'll tell you why. Because if they go into discovery, it won't only be the books of Bear Stearns that are turned inside out by a court, a civil court, mind you, but so will J.P. Morgan Chase. And believe you me, that is the last thing that they want to happen. Now, they've already made a mess of the thing. And if they were smart, they would drift raw from the whole thing. But they're not smart because they're greedy, and they're terribly afraid of what's going on. They're in a very, very bad situation, which is irreversible. And so I hope the lawsuits which have been filed, there's two of them, will continue forward, because I want the public to see what crooks these people are, the entire industry. Now, mind you, I was a broker, a stock broker for 28 years, and I owned my own company many of those years, so I know how it works. And these people have got to be exposed to what they're doing and what they've done. And particularly in this case, they've been crooks for many years. But in this particular case, it went, as they say, beyond the pale. And this time, they all were involved in selling securities which were misrated. Securities which were supposed to be AAA and they were BBB. On a scale of 10, that's a 10, supposedly, when in fact the paper was a 3 or a 4. And so the whole group is involved. I mean, we're talking, the Fed instigated it. The lenders went along with the program because the Fed said to. The rating companies did what the Wall Street investment banking firms told them to do. That was misrate the securities. The mortgage brokers did what the bankers told them to do and wrote all kinds of paper. Mortgages people should have never had. And we wrote about it for a long time, believe me. And then you have the appraisers who were told a lie about the value of properties. And then you have the borrowers, 85% of which in the alpha and subprime categories with FOICs under 650 lied on their applications, which incidentally is a felony. All these people want to get bailed out. They want the American public to pay the bill. And that's what secretly the Fed, the Bank of England, and the European Central Bank are working on right now.
But don't you
think it's like the restitution trust, resolution trust, whichever it was in the 1980s, which cost the American taxpayer $500 billion.
But don't you think it's a little late? Don't you think this the horse is out of the barn, this whole system is beginning to crumble, and if they try to do something now, it'll take them probably a year to get anything accomplished, and by then we'll have passed the point of no return. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about your financial future. Do you really think they're going to be able to come up with some sort of a federal program to buy out all of these, these CDOs, these collateralized debt obligations? Wouldn't it take them 6 months to a year? And by then, certainly the whole financial system would be begin to crumble, wouldn't it?
Well, first of all, it's not going to take them a year because this is an emergency. And second of all, in America, we're talking between $2 and $3 trillion.
Well, where are we going to get
$2 or $3 trillion? I cited a minimum of $2 trillion 2.5 years ago when everybody was sleeping, when all of these so-called experts didn't want to know what was going on. And, of course, we get all our subscribers out of the real estate market, just like we got them out of the stock market at the top, and saved them a lot of money. But all these other people, they were just wandering in the wilderness. A lot of it has to do with peer pressure. A lot of people in economics and analysis knew what was going on. But if they reported on it, they lost their job. In fact, this whole thing came about because a woman at Oppenheimer & Company, who was a bank analyst, Meredith Whitney, said Citigroup is not going to make as much money as they think they are. They're going to lose 28 cents a share. This was 8 months ago. And the value of what they're holding is questionable. And that's what started the whole thing. She came out today and said the loss is going to be $1.53 a share, which I think is about $13.6 billion. And that's not all of it. That's just an installment. And so you never know when this is going to happen. But most, almost all, the economists and analysts went along with the program. They knew what was going down. They speak up, they lose their job. The Illuminati closely controls the securities business and the banking business. I know. I was there. I was always an outsider like Bear Stearns was. And so I think it would be a great idea if the lawsuits go forward, that the deal is killed, that, you know, it's interesting, too, a day after the deal was done, and since it's had to be redone, the day after the deal was done, the Fed opened the discount window to Goldman, Lehman, and J.P. Morgan Chase, and others, to essentially borrow as much money as they wanted.
And now, I think it's important for our listeners to know that there's a difference between a commercial bank and an investment bank. And the commercial banks could borrow from the Fed. The investment banks couldn't, except, of course, once Bear Stearns had gone down, then they opened the window so the investment banks like J.P. Morgan and the others could begin, of course, to borrow money. So obviously they did not want to help Bear Stearns. They wanted to help J.P. Morgan, which is such a very, very major player in the Federal Reserve, the privately owned central bank that rules America.
Well, a better term for it is grand theft.
All right.
And that's exactly what went on. And so I hope this deal for $10 falls through.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment,
There's
Bob.
There's one in Michigan. And there's another one of shareholders. And there's going to be lots more.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is just saying he hopes the deal, the J.P. Morgan Chase purchase of Bear Stearns falls through, because then, of course, the truth can be brought out about what's going on. Of course, at this point, Bear Stearns would be able to borrow from our central bank and would not be in the problem they are. So, obviously, this whole thing is contrived, and everybody's not getting the truth about it at all. Well, anyway, as we look out across America, we find the housing market really falling. We're finding so many houses now foreclosed and being auctioned off. In lots of places in California, when they're auctioning off the houses, they're only getting about 50 cents on the dollar. But at least they're glad to get that 50 cents. But what it does, it drives down the value of all the adjacent property. If you have a $500,000 home, and the house next to you just sold at auction for $250,000, that has a direct effect on what your house is worth. And I think they're going to see the continued falling of the value of homes. Certainly we find that all across the country, they're finishing up many major condominium projects, and nobody's buying condominiums. We find a lot of home builders who are head over heels in debt and simply going under, especially when they have to borrow money from the banks to complete their programs, to complete their homes or whatever they were building, certainly commercial sites. And suddenly more and more builders are simply having to forego, having to relinquish the properties that they have and turn them back to the banks. And now the banks are sitting there with all these commercial properties, no lenders, and no income on based upon all the money they've lent. So pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, that's two different things. One's residential, the other's commercial. The commercial's easy to handle. It's just really getting underway. To the downside, you're starting to see big auctions, you know, 20, 50 million at a time. And you also have a situation in the credit markets where people who would like to buy a building can't get any credit. They can't get any money because the banks don't want to give the money out because the banks are hoarding money. They won't even lend it to each other. Their attitude is that they've lost trust in the system. They have no confidence left, and particularly outside the United States, because foreign bankers have seen what the Fed and the investment banking community in the United States did with all of this bogus CDO paper that they sold to foreigners. And they just don't really want to even deal with them anymore. And so people in the commercial real estate business, let's say you want to buy a property for $100 million. And let's say you can put down $30 or $40 million. You still can't get a loan. It's as simple as that. And the banks are calling also credit lines, much of which have never been used, just as backups. So anyway, going to the residential market, in today's International Forecaster, we made a list of the top 20 and then the top 10, two different groups, which comprise the former 30 hot markets in America, and their losses are devastating. Just year to year, to March, to February, to last month. And those losses range from 15 down to about 8%. And when all is said and done, and we predicted this 3.5 years ago, the losses will be 35 to 40% in the former hot areas. And in some areas, such as California, particularly Southern California, Las Vegas, and some others, the losses could go as high as 60%.
You're talking about the decrease in the value of homes, then. Is that right, Bob? You're talking about the loss of the value of homes down up to 60% in Las Vegas?
And California will be hit the hardest like they always are.
Right.
Because they went up the most. But you're looking at a problem just based on ultra and subprime loans that are going to last a minimum of a year and a half.
And I think
plus the 9.2-month inventory home overhang. Plus the thing nobody talks about, the option-only loans, which have just started to begin to come due, and they will come due over the next 5 years, and they're going to be every bit as devastating as what we're going to see in the subprime ultra area.
Will you hold that thought? We'll be right with you, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. So, Bob, you were just simply talking about the devastating losses that there are going to be in real estate values, especially here in California where the prices have gone up so high. Why, of course, the higher you go, the further you can fall. So pick the story up there.
And so we're looking at a falling market. Even if the government gets involved, and I'll get into that in a minute, you're looking at a falling market that's probably got another 50% to go in the form of hot 30 areas, which will encompass the next year and a half. And that market will stay depressed as these option-only, which are pick-and-pay loans, as they're also called, come into play. And that means that you're going to have a five-year bottoming of the market. And if history serves us, it'll take a minimum of 9 to 10 years for the prices of homes to return to the levels that they were at 2 years ago, if history is any guideline. But this particular problem is very unique. We have never had this happen before. We have never had the leverage that we've had in the residential real estate market. All of us who are over 40 years old know that historically you put 20% down, you get a 30-year fix, and you had to prove that you could, handle the loan, etc. We didn't have any of that. We had leverage, and we had speculators that made up about one-third of the homes that were sold were bought by speculators. It was encouraged to make prices go higher. And we had things happening in that market that had never happened before. And so I don't know when it's going to be time to buy a home again, but it's not going to be for a long time. And the people who are buying today are probably going to get stuck. They're going to be paying too much because the market's going lower. And this, of course, is it going to affect building? I mean, I noticed today 546,000. $56,000. Anyway, they're building homes still.
And there's no more. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply saying that the housing market has got a long way to go before it hits the bottom. As people are buying homes now, are going to be paying too much. They could certainly drop, twice as much as it has. He thinks it may even go down as much as 60%. And from the high right here in California and in other markets which were oversold and certainly have been overinflated. Well, before we go on, I want Bob to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster, what the International Forecaster is, and why they should be subscribing to it. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It runs around 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy edition that goes out twice a month for those who don't have the internet. You can go to our site to get a copy, and that address is the internationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to email us with a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call toll-free to get your copy, you can call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. 375-4188.
And I can assure our listeners that it's an excellent newsletter. There's information there you just won't find elsewhere. And I think on most things, on just about everything, Bob has been right on. Right now, of course, we've seen a dramatic fall in the price of gold and silver. And, of course, he says it's going to come back. And believe me, this last couple of days, it has come back very, very strongly. And ordinarily, of course, you do not see. You may see a dramatic fall in a bull market, but certainly it doesn't come back this quickly unless the whole thing is manipulated. And I think it's manipulated. Don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do. And this time, the shorts, which are almost record shorts in gold, were not responsible for the downside in the market. I think puts were used, and we'll know better later. And I think gold was sold into the market. And my sources have told me that Bear Stearns was long a substantial amount of gold, and the J.P. Morgan Chase, under their agreement, sold that gold into the market. And that, if it's true, is what drove the price down. Now, we, in the last 2 days, have retraced almost half the loss in gold and silver. And it could be that gold and silver could go right back up and test their recent highs. That's possible. You might have a technical glitch at 950 to 975 of gold. You might have a consolidation there, but if you do, it's just going to launch anyway. There's nothing that's going to keep gold and silver down.
Well, of course.
And anybody who doesn't have gold and silver assets, who's been listening to the programs I've been on, they've missed an awful lot of wonderful opportunity to make money. It's about one third to one quarter of what's going to be made. And we still got a long way to go.
Well, now, Bob, certainly we're hearing all sorts of rumors from the coin dealers that silver seems to be in short supply. They're having real difficulty getting silver. Apparently, these silver coins, 90% silver coins, are still available, but so many of the other things, the silver bars of any sort, certainly the silver eagles from the mint, they just can't get them. I was surprised, though, that silver bars would be in short supply. Is this a temporary affair, or do you think there's really a world shortage of silver?
Well, we have clients in Europe, I should say subscribers in Europe, as well as the Middle East, and they've had a hard time getting silver bars for a long time. And there are probably 85 to 90% of the dealers in the United States are having a very hard time getting silver bullion. They can't get the coins, for the most part, the silver eagles, because they have not minted the new ones yet. They're supposed to be coming in about a month and a half. I think that they had technical problems. The slugs that they made to create the silver eagles, somehow they made a mess out of it. I guess they call them blanks. And I think there's a lot of incompetence that's been involved. I also think they were playing the silver market, and I think they didn't want to pay up for the silver, and I think they hesitated in buying silver. And it's really stupid, because this is an item that the U.S. government makes an awful lot of money on. But, you know, governments do what they do. And so, overall, the coins, the silver eagles, are very hard to get. Bullion, there are dealers that have bullion, but not a lot of them. Bullion isn't available in Australia or New Zealand at all that I know of, as I talk to people there. And number of these companies that have these gold and silver pools, and you get a certificate. Anybody who does that is crazy, because all they're doing is playing the futures market to a great extent. And I would turn my certificate into silver, and if they will not perform immediate delivery and do that, then I would sell my certificate and then go and buy the physical silver. Because in time, I think there's going to be a lot of scandals. There's going to be a lot of dealers that can't deliver. And I can think of two very large ones right now who have been doing that. And my advice is to do what I just told you. If you're going to have silver or gold, you want to take delivery. It's as simple as that. And if you have silver or gold physically somewhere, that's okay to a great extent. For those of you who have thought of playing the exchange traded funds such as GLD and the New York Stock Exchange and Barclays silver vehicle, don't. Barclays is using futures contracts. And we cannot get an audit on the gold that's held by GLD, which is Street Tracks. And I suspect that they're using futures contracts. And I also suspect that they're engaged in assisting the U.S. government. And so I have recommended non-use. I mean, the ETFs are only one-to-one. There's no leverage. So if you want to do that, buy coins. Even numismatics have leverage. If you want real leverage, you buy the shares. But if you just want bullion coins, buy it and take delivery. You may never get delivery.
All right, fine. And of course, certainly the gold stocks have been knocked down a little bit, but do you think they're going to come right back again?
They already have. You know, stocks like Agnico Eagle, which was recently $82 a share, got knocked down to 63. It closed at 71.10 today. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a Canadian silver and gold mining company. We recommended the stock at $4 a share. And we recommended it all the way up. And I see it going lots higher.
All right, fine. Well, of course, there's lots of opportunities for certainly doing well in the market, but the difficulty is I think most people are going to get wiped out because, of course, they're going to just put their money into what they think would be safe, and that is T-bills. But, of course, people don't understand that, at least according to Ludwig von Mises, who was the father of the Austrian School of Economics, bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. In other words, when you have an inflationary spiral and you have your money in bonds, why, of course, it loses value as the value of the money falls. So, where do you think people ought to be? Do you think they ought to be in safe T-bills, or do you think that's a trap?
Among Americans and some others, it's perceived as being safe. I've been in the financial markets for almost 50 years. At this time, I do not perceive them as being safe. With that said, for those who are subscribers who want that kind of a vehicle in addition to gold and silver-related assets, they should be purchasing Swiss franc government bonds. They only yield 1.8%, but they get the strongest currency in the world and have had the strongest currency in the world for the last 50 years. And if you have to be in a currency, that's where you should be.
Because the Swiss, of course, have not had the inflation. In fact, I can remember when it was 4 Swiss francs to a dollar, and now, of course, it's about an even par. It's 1 Swiss franc to $1. But things have not gone up in price in Switzerland, whereas, of course, the dollar buys only 25% of what it used to be able to in Switzerland. So, you know, when you go over there, well, you can't understand why everything's so expensive. It's not expensive. It's just that the value of our currency has been falling very rapidly. Well, Bob, one of the things that really puzzles me is, certainly, as you know, we have to borrow about $2.5 billion a day as a nation just to pay our bills. But apparently the central banks over in Europe are still buying American T-bills, and of course Japan and China are doing that as well. And that's, of course, keeping America afloat. If they quit buying our T-bills, we would go into bankruptcy. We wouldn't be able to pay our bills unless we had, of course, runaway inflation. But why are the European banks and Sydney and Japan continuing to buy our treasury bills when they're smart enough to know the value of our dollar is falling?
They have made previous arrangements to do so. They're working together on this.
Right.
It's a conspiracy, and it's as simple as that. And that's why they buy them. Because none of them have any gold to speak of. They've sold it all trying to keep the price down as governments or as central banks. And so that's why they're backing the dollar. And they just take their fiat dollars that they get in exchange for trade, and they go back and buy treasuries to keep the system floating.
In other words, they're afraid the whole system's going to crumble if they don't support America, because if the United States goes down, they go down as well. Would that be a fair
statement? Absolutely.
A caller just called and asked if you had any other gold stocks that you want to recommend.
Besides, well, I mentioned that Eagle, which is traded in New York and Toronto. Symbol is AEM. Alice, easy, Mike. Second one is Gold Corp. And that's on the New York, and that's GG. Third one is Silver Standard, and that's traded over the counter and in Toronto. Gold Corp is New York and Toronto as well. And Silver Standard symbol is SSRI, Sam Sam Raja Ida. And those are extremely good companies. And goodness knows the subscribers have done very, very well with them. I mean, even the ones who have bought in the last couple of months. And even with this correction. And we do have a couple of speculative stocks. And one of them is Helix Ventures, H-E-L-L-I-X. V-E-N-T-U-R-E-S, and the symbol is H-E-L dot V, Harry Easy Love dot Victor, and that again is speculative, and if they find a mine, it'll do very well. If they don't, it won't.
Okay.
Pretty simple. And in the stocks, those are the ones I like the best right now. And in coins, I like numismatics. I think that the premiums are going to start going up as the world starts to come into the numismatic market. And I think you're going to see as good a performance in them as you have historically, which have been very, very good. And so I believe that we're only one quarter to one third of the way where we're going in gold and silver investments. And if you're not in them, you should be.
Well, I think it's really very interesting to note that the major automotive companies, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, are all cutting back on production because they have a tremendous supply of vehicles they can't sell. Even Toyota here in the United States is having difficulty selling their cars. And so this simply reflects the contracting economy. So people keep telling us, oh, everything's going to be fine. I think we're just at the very beginning of a financial contraction that could certainly well rival what happened during the 1930s. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And I don't think it's avoidable.
And, of course, the war over is simply a great distraction, costing a tremendous amount of money. Professor Joseph Stiglitz says it's going to cost about $3 trillion, but George Bush is going to be out of office. He's not going to have to worry. And of course, we're talking about an awful lot of American boys dying for absolutely nothing. I mean, certainly if they had not destroyed the Iraqi army and police force and civil service and closed the schools and the factories, Iraq could have continued functioning very efficiently after America had taken Saddam Hussein out. But that was never the goal. The goal was to create chaos to justify staying, and that's what happened. Well, Bob, you go ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, historically, I've talked about getting out of debt. If you got credit card and revolving debt, get rid of it. Debt on your vehicles, try to get rid of it. There's a good chance one of you won't be working this year or next year. If you can, you should have something to defend your home. You should have dehydrated and freeze-dried food. You should have a way of purifying water. And I think those are very basic things. They're insurance policies. Very inexpensive ones, actually. And those of you who have those things or can accomplish them and have more money, then you go to gold and silver related assets. And I don't see any other alternatives at this time. The stock market, I believe, is going down. The earnings are dreadful. They've been dreadful. And the only reason it's not down further than it is presently is because our government is manipulating the market. And they'll continue to do so as long as they can get away with it. And it's legal. So the laws have to be changed. And how you accomplish that is by voting every incumbent out of office. Doesn't matter who's elected. Just get the people who are in there out. Because they're a problem.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think we have a very, very real problem. We have to get the American people to have a grasp of what's going on. And my fear is, of course, the fall of the dollar and the inflationary is going to really end up impoverishing so many of our senior citizens who no longer have the ability to replenish the life savings. And, of course, what we need to do is try to warn them as quickly as we can. And all we can do is try. Whether they listen certainly is their business, but certainly, as Lenin had said, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency, and not one person in a million will understand what you've done. And they're in the process intentionally and purposely and maliciously of debauching our currency. Bob Chapman has been our guest today, the international forecaster. One more time, would you like to get out to your telephone number for us?
Yes, the toll-free number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, we'll talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye. God bless. Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you have enjoyed the program with our friend Bob Chapman. He's been around at this for over 50 years. He's the only person I know who's been around longer than I have, certainly active in the conservative movement. And what he's telling you is you've got to make preparations because we're in for some very, very difficult times, and they're doing everything to deceive you about what's going on. We have a fiat money currency. There's no instance in history where any country has had a fiat currency and has not eventually been destroyed. Certainly, if you look at what happened to Rome, they were destroyed by the fiat currency, but they were the western half of the Roman Empire. The eastern half was centered in what later came to be known as Constantinople. They had a gold-backed currency called the Byzant, and they existed for 1,000 years after Rome fell in 476 AD. They existed for 1,000 years because they had a stable currency, and we no longer have a stable currency in America. Well, if you'd like to really understand what's going on, you need to get my pamphlets entitled The History of Money and then Financial Meltdown. You need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami that comes with the syllabus. That's the financial tsunami. Comes with the syllabus. We carry the book. The Creature from Jekyll Island, the finest book on this subject, explains to you that everything is based upon debt, and that's what the money is based upon debt. And if you pay off the debt, there's no more money, and the whole system crumbles. And then, of course, we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and then, of course, the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. They're all important, and we do hope that many of you want to get them. Let me once again give out the telephone number if you're interested in attending the meeting this weekend in Santa Rosa, put on by the Eagle Forum. The number to call is 707-539-8393. That's 707-539-8393. If you're interested in knowing about dehydrated food that will last 10 to 15 years, and, of course, I think everybody should have a food store at the present time. If you'd like to get a free catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927. And if you certainly would already have a catalog and you're interested in getting something, food for the future, that long-term storage, let me point out the prices are going up, and they're going up rapidly, and they're going up this week. And if you're going to do anything, don't put it off. Certainly, if you don't get it through Radio Liberty, why, get it someplace. But at least make sure you've got the things on hand that you need. A means of purifying your water, like the Berkey water system, barrels to store water in, pumps to get the water out of the barrels. If you'd like the other emergency things, many of them are available. If you just give us a call, and we'll send you that catalog. You also need to have health products on hand, because if you don't have your health, why, of course, you're not going to survive what lies ahead. And we do have an excellent health catalog. And then if you want to understand where we're headed, we have a great talk called The Planned Police State. The Planned Police State comes with a syllabus, and you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, the reason we're losing our freedom is because people do not understand what's on the other side. They think we're involved in a cultural war or an ideological war or a political war. And of course, we're fighting a cultural, ideological, and political war, but it's really a spiritual war that we're fighting on a cultural, ideological, and political battlefield. There are powerful spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying not only the United States, but the world. And they are dedicated to population control. They're dedicated to the establishment of a one-world government, a one-world religion, with the destruction of Christianity, because they have an intense hatred of Christianity, and then, of course, enthroning a new world leader. If you haven't heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. You need to listen to it several times. You need to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, because it goes into who really is behind everything going on today, and you're not going to get this from most ministries. So please remember our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for this hour, it's going to be the views of Warren Smith. And Warren certainly has a tremendous insight into what's going on in the world today. And we're very, very fortunate to have him with us. Warren has actually came out of the New Age. He was deeply involved in the occult until he was, of course, brought into the Christian faith. And, of course, he knows what demonic oppression is like, because both he and his wife were under demonic oppression. But we're going to be talking tonight about what's happening today in the United States. Oprah Winfrey, certainly one of the most influential people in our country, said to be the most wealthiest woman in the United States, or certainly one of the wealthiest women with literally billions of dollars of money, is using her platform at CBS, and of course CBS is an occult broadcasting system. It was originally, of course, part of the Central Intelligence Agency. It is used for thought control, always has been, and is today. And Oprah Winfrey is using her platform, both on television and radio, to push an alternative religion. Now, you must understand that in 2 Thessalonians 2, we're told that before the man of sin is exposed or revealed, why, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. And that great falling away from the Christian faith is taking place today, as more and more people begin looking for the real religion, or for an experiential religion, something they can personally experience so that they can really know that Christianity is real, or maybe Christianity needs to be modified and brought up into the 20th century. Under any circumstances, some of the very people who are teaching the occult that Warren Smith has been warning about for a long time are working through Oprah, and of course they're on her radio broadcast every day, teaching, well, Marianne Williamson's teaching the Course in Miracles, but I'm going to let Warren tell you this, because he knows the story so well, because he's lived that story. So you go ahead, Warren. It's good to have you with us tonight.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. I'm really glad that you you mentioned experience, because that's really where it's at right now. On the webcast that Oprah Winfrey is now doing, being downloaded by millions of people, with Eckhart Tolle. His book is A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And this is probably the most outrageous, out-front effort to push New Age teachings upon the world. And, you know, I can sort of empathize with Oprah, because when my wife and I were involved in the New Age, we were very excited about what we were doing. We believed deeply in what we were doing. And if I had her platform, as you mentioned, it's a big platform that she's got, I would have probably done everything I could to spread the news. Just as we try to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they really believe in what they're doing. I don't doubt Oprah's sincerity, but she's sincerely wrong, as we were when we were believing in the false Christ of the New Age. But it's experience and not doctrine that is driving this whole movement. And I think I hear a little bit of music there.
You do, but go right ahead. We'll tell you when we have to...
Okay. So, really what's happened is that in 1987, Oprah did a show on her Oprah Winfrey show program entitled The New Age Movement. And on that program, she had Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, which was pretty much kind of like the Bible of the New Age, as Oprah described it on that program back then. And Oprah literally defined the New Age by talking about her affection for Unity New Age Minister Eric Butterworth. And Oprah on the program said that Eric Butterworth, you know, taught her that Jesus didn't come to teach about his
Hold
divinity.
Hold off. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Warren.
Jesus didn't come to teach about his divinity, but about our divinity. And when she said that, one of the guests, a religious science minister, or unity minister, said, "Oprah, you just defined the New Age movement." It's interesting that on her first webcast with Eckhart Tolle, she again brought up Eric Butterworth. 20 years later, she brought up Eric Butterworth, the same story, but there was no mention of the New Age, Dr. Stan. She's now calling it the New Spirituality. The New Age does not want us to talk about it. They've redefined themselves. They've shed that skin because they were exposed, particularly in the 80s and the early 90s, but the church kind of let up on them, and they've sort of resurfaced, and they're now calling it the New Spirituality, and that term is also being used by some of the so-called emerging church leaders like Brian McLaren. They're making it look like it's a new spirituality, but of course the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and whether they call it New Age or New Spirituality, the New Age by any name is still the New Age. So, really, what is the New Age? The New Age is telling people that if you go deep within yourself, if you go past your ego, if you go past your conscious mind into the depths of your own being, you will find Christ consciousness. And Oprah talked about this on the webcast. She said Jesus came to teach us about Christ consciousness, the Christ within, the God within. And Dr. Stan, as you know, and I know, that just isn't so. There's no God or Christ naturally indwelling humanity. And this is the big lie, and this is being spread through Eckhart Tolle's book on the Internet to millions of people, and through books like The Secret and A Course in Miracles.
And, of course, the whole idea is the message was given by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and that is, if you will eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you can be as God, and ye shall never die. And, of course, what they really want to teach us is that we are part of God. Indeed, we are God. Now, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but unfortunately, there are a lot of people who really have been taken in by this, and literally millions of Americans who say they believe in God and they believe in spirituality are looking inside themselves to find God. Well, God is not inside ourselves. He will certainly be with us once we've accepted him, but if we look inside ourselves, we're going to look at ourselves in the mirror, and we're going to be, of course, seeing our basic evil tendencies coming forward and determining what we do. So I think this is such a dangerous thing, Warren.
It is. And, you know, Dr. Stan, when I was in the New Age, and I was deeply involved...
Hold that thought for just a minute here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Warren is just saying that when he was in the New Age, and go right ahead, pick the story up.
When I was in the New Age, I was deeply involved for 5 years. It all started when I went to see a psychic. A friend of a friend of mine recommended I see this psychic, and I did it more to please, you know, this woman that I really did, because I was trying to, you know, spiritually explore things. I was really not into spirituality at the time. But by going to see the psychic and having a spiritual experience during that reading, I literally had a tingling feeling over my head that was explained to me by the psychic without my saying anything to her, that there was a ball of light over my head and that I was being told that I had a lot of help on the other side. And the point that I'd like to make is that by my going to see the psychic, I opened myself up to the spirit world. I walked into an occultic experience. And people are doing the same thing when they pick a book like A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, which is Oprah's 61st book club selection. She and Eckhart Tolle are now on the Internet weekly for 10 weeks. They've done 4 sessions now. And they are teaching the principles of the New Age through Eckhart Tolle's book. And people don't realize that they're calling Eckhart Tolle's book a self-help book, but it is an occultic book. And Stan, I just want to say that, you know, I've looked through a lot of these books, you know, since I was, you know, in the New Age, and I've been talking about my experience, and I need to go back and I need to look through these things. When I read Eckhart Tolle's book, it is very oppressive. There's a very strong feeling. And I know that when I did the Course in Miracles, when I was involved in the Course in Miracles, I felt really good doing it, And after I became a Christian, I could then feel the oppression that came from that book. And Eckhart Tolle's book is very powerful. It's an occultic book. It's not something you just idly pick up and read through. It's much better for Christians to just stay completely away from it and maybe get capsule summaries from some of us that, you know, have done. For instance, we just posted an article tonight on Heroscope. That's HERESCOPE.com. We're going to be doing a series on Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and what's going on the Oprah Winfrey webcast. And it's much better to do that, but you are literally opening yourself to the occult and to the very spiritual experience, Dr. Stan, that you talked about at the outset of the show. This is where it's at. Doctrine is being thrown out the window. It's being condescendingly referred to as kind of archaic, and it's spiritual experience. It's not what you believe, it's what you experience, and that's exactly what Eckhart Tolle was saying on that program. So the Course in Miracles was what I was involved in, and that is now being taught on XM Satellite Radio by Oprah Winfrey's friend and New Age teacher Marianne Williamson. And Marianne Williamson was first introduced on the Oprah Winfrey Show back in 1992. And on that program, I've got what Oprah Winfrey said in introducing Marianne Williamson in the Course in Miracles. Williamson wrote a book called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. Basically, the false Christ of the New Age was outed and mainstreamed on this program in 1992. And Oprah said about Marianne Williamson and the Course in Miracles, she said about Marianne, a leader in a philosophy that I personally know could change the world. I believe that with all my heart. I've read many books over the years. I've never been as moved by a book as I have by Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love. So moved, in fact, that I went out and bought 1,000 copies and will be giving you all a copy before you leave here today. She said, if it sounds like I'm trying to hype the book, I really am. It's the first time you can open a book and actually see some answers. That was 16 years ago. 16 years ago, she's talking about Eric Butterworth and defining the New Age by talking about the divinity that's in all mankind back in 1987. And now Oprah is on a webcast trying to convince us that this is a new spirituality. But this is not new. This is what she's been pushing for like 20 years. Stan, let me just give you a few teachings from A Course in Miracles. It's hard for me to believe that I bought into all this stuff, but part of the reason you buy into it is because you're made to feel so good when you're doing it. I don't doubt that if a Christian picked up A New Earth, they might be given sort of a spiritual lift as they read it. It would make them feel like maybe there's something, you know, to be valued in this book. A Course in Miracles actually came about in 1965, when a psychologist in New York City by the name of Helen Schuckman heard an inner voice saying, "This is A Course in Miracles, please take notes." The voice claimed to be Jesus. He claimed to be bringing new revelation for this period in history where there is so much crisis and so many problems in the world that the Course in Miracles would provide spiritual answers for mankind. Sound familiar? It's the temptation to buy into spiritual teachings that will save the world. Well, Jesus came as Savior a long time ago, and when we accept Him, we are saved. That doesn't mean we're going to be saved from the world, because the world's got its own agenda. But here are some of the teachings that this Jesus of A Course in Miracles delivered to Helen Schuckman. By the way, these teachings in The Course in Miracles were presented by Marianne Williamson. Oprah, after endorsing Marianne Williamson's book about The Course in Miracles, Williamson's book shot to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It was really one of the first books that Oprah, it was her unofficial book club at that time, but Oprah was seeing the power that she had in endorsing books. Here's what the Jesus of A Course in Miracles said, of course a false Jesus, a false Christ. He said, "The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself." He said, to the answer to the question, is Jesus the Christ? He said, "Oh yes, along with you." His little life on earth was not enough to teach the mighty lesson that he learned for all of you. So that Jesus is saying that we're all Christ. The Jesus of the Bible is the Messiah, the Savior. He is the one and only Christ. Big difference. This Christ of A Course in Miracles, this Jesus said, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. He said the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Dr. Stan, this is not just frivolous New Age drivel. This is pure blasphemy. This is blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, I am amazed that more Christian leaders, more pastors aren't speaking out about this, because this is a direct attack on our Lord and Savior, and we're told to contend for the faith. We're told to stand fast and to 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Apostle Paul said, "For we are lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." This is a device. Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, is a device to teach people to go within to the Christ within. A Course in Miracles is a device. It's a trick. It's a scheme to get people to follow a false Christ. Listen to what the Jesus of A Course in Miracles says about the atonement. He says, the atonement is the final lesson that man need learn, for it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation.
A man never having sinned? Of course, that is totally ridiculous. We're all sinners, and yet, of course, nobody likes to accept this, and that's why in our churches today, the minister usually doesn't talk about sin, because he doesn't want to offend anybody. And, of course, if there's no sin, then, of course, we don't need a Savior. If none of us have ever sinned, then why would Jesus have come to earth to give his life for the redemption of our sins? And, of course, there really are satanic, demonic forces out there that are lying, that many of these books are actually channeled by demonic spirits to people. I think that this woman you mentioned, Ms. Schumann, back many years ago, who got the Course of Miracles, the Course of Miracles initially. I mean, the book was channeled to her. I have a number of books that have been channeled by demonic spirits. People don't understand that they can be placed under demonic control. They will write this out in a matter almost of automatic writing. And then, of course, it's presented to the public, and the public says, gee, doesn't that sound wonderful? It's wonderful to know that I've never sinned.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 4:1, Dr. Stan, as you know, says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's this experience that Helen Schuckman had, a spiritual experience. She had an inner voice saying, you know, this is A Course in Miracles, please take notes. I had a spiritual experience that launched me into the New Age, where this ball of light came over me, and it convinced me that there was a spirit world that cared about me. I had no idea there was a deceptive spirit world, being, you know, a college-educated guy who believes in the devil. I mean, that I had my back to traditional Christianity, and I was open to just about anything else. It was only that the Lord proved himself to me by the grace of God, I was shown how deceived I was, but I had no real background to protect me. Now, the way that I got involved with A Course in Miracles was, I was in a holistic health institute in Sacramento in a massage training program, and one of the women in the class handed me this little book called Love is Letting Go of Fear by Dr. Gerald Jim Polsky. I read the book, and it had a lot of little truths in it. I mean, the New Age isn't, they know how to sort of mingle truth with falsity, and there were some things in there about forgiveness and things that really, you know, were quite accurate. But then there were other things that were mixed in that I didn't know were untrue. But he kept saying that his book was based on a set of teachings called A Course in Miracles. So Jampolsky's book propelled me into the Course in Miracles. Gerald Jampolsky has been advocating the Course in Miracles, you know, ever since his book came out in 1979. Now, what's interesting, Dr. Stan, is that Jampolsky was set up for the Course in Miracles by a spiritual experience where he was tapped on the head by a peacock feather by Swami Baba Muktananda, and with that experience, Jampolsky broke into tongues, went out of body, saw brilliant colors, spoke in tongues, and said he felt more love than he'd ever felt in his life, and for the next 3 months, he kept feeling this spiritual high, and he said that set him up for his encounter with A Course in Miracles.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment with Warren Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a spirit world out there. but you don't want to get in touch with it. Believe me, you don't. Go right ahead, Warren.
So Dr. Jampolsky has been teaching the Course in Miracles for years, and what I noticed over the years was that Robert Schuller, supposedly, you know, a Christian minister, was quoting Jampolsky and was mentioning him in his books, actually had him on his program back in the early 80s. I wrote about this in my book called Deceived on Purpose, the New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. I wrote about this because I was concerned that Rick Warren was so clearly influenced by Robert Schuller. That's pretty much what my book documents, is how clearly Rick Warren was influenced by Robert Schuller. And I was concerned because Robert Schuller was so clearly influenced by Gerald Jampolsky. Well, my book came out in 2004, and just 2 months after my book came out, who pops up on the Hour of Power with Robert Schuller but Dr. Gerald Jampolsky? And Schuller is recommending Jampolsky's books that are all based on A Course in Miracles. Now, this is really interesting because Jampolsky's book that Schuller was recommending had an introduction by New Age leader Neil Donald Walsh. Neil Donald Walsh, in his book Conversations with God, said that he and his God were talking about Robert Schuller, and they said he was an extraordinary minister, the kind of guy that could bridge the gap between the church and the New Age. So, of course, I was concerned that with all these connections, what is Rick Warren doing being so influenced by Robert Schuller? And in Rick Warren's book, he quotes Ephesians 4:6 as saying that God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. He also introduced the word purpose by quoting Bernie Siegel, who's a New Age leader who has a spirit guide named George. Bernie Siegel is on the board of advisors of Gerald Jampolsky's Course in Miracles Foundation, the Attitudinal Healing Center in Tiburon. So, Dr. Stan, you've done this for years. There are all these interconnections. Everything's kind of piecing together, and what I see is that the church is imploding and is overlapping its language and is being leached into the New Age. And the thing that bothers me the most is that a lot of these Christian leaders, they're not speaking out about the dangers of the New Age. You would never know the New Age is still there. And meanwhile, they're starting to adopt the language. Brian McLaren, emerging church leader, is talking about a new spirituality. Brian McLaren is using the term God's dream. God's dream is a term that Robert Schuller used to describe this idea that God has a dream for mankind, and it's basically world peace. And it's based on the idea that God's in everything. And then Rick Warren introduces his peace plan by saying that it's God's dream for you and the world. New Age leaders are using the term God's dream to introduce world peace through New Age principles. We have all this overlapping language, and nobody's really kind of separating it out. So from what I can see, there's a trap that's been laid for the church, and the emerging church is walking into it, and some of the purpose-driven aspects seem to be leaching into it. And I think we have to really look closely at the fact that there's no real strong line being laid out so that people can see the difference between the true gospel, the biblical gospel, and this New Age gospel. And for whatever reason, it does not seem that most Christian leaders are contending for the faith. They're not standing up to Oprah. They're not standing up to a lot of the false teachings that are leaching in. You don't hear much. And I think that's really sad.
And I think, it's, of course, Oprah has been pushing The Secret, Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. The book The Secret has been at the top of the New York Times bestseller list, sold over 5 million copies, and almost a similar number of the DVDs will be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Warren Smith, and certainly we're talking about what is happening, how Oprah Winfrey is using her platform there on CBS, on her afternoon television program, and then, of course, her radio uplinks to push this New Age occultism. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is, call it what you will, it is simply a cover for people contacting the beings from the other dimension, contacting demonic beings, and there really are people out there who are being taken over in their bodies and their very souls by Lucifer. And what people don't understand is we're warned that this would happen in the latter days before the man of sin is exposed, where there'd be a great falling away, and there are an awful lot of Christians who are certainly falling into this trap. because nobody in the Christian church is warning them against it. So pick up the story they're warning.
Well, I think the thing that I've really noticed with Oprah Winfrey is that she's always been popularizing New Age teachers and books. I mean, she's made so many New Age books bestsellers. There have got to be just tons of New Age millionaires out there with books. Deepak Chopra, James Redfield's book, The Celestine Prophecy, as you mentioned, The Secret. But what's happened is, like, starting toward the end of last year, Oprah seemed to really put it into fifth gear. She pushed The Secret. The Secret, if people want to refute The Secret, on page 164, the author says, "You are God in a physical body." I mean, it's as simple as that. I was sitting on an airplane going to a conference. I was speaking at a conference in Iowa, and the man next to me, you know, was reading one of the Secret-related books. And I started talking to him, and I said, "So you like The Secret?" And he goes, "Yeah, I kind of do." And I said, "Do you think that you're God in a physical body?" And he says, "Well, no." I said, "Well, that's what The Secret teaches on page 164. Take a look." And he said, "Wow." And I said, "Does that bother you?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "I'm a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ." So he didn't even know. There's lots of Christians that are just falling into this because they haven't received real strong teachings, or they don't know. There are enough aspects to some of these teachings that are seemingly attractive that you get pulled in, but then what they do is they leech in these teachings that you are God, you are Christ, we're all connected, we're all God, we're all one. But what's happened with Oprah is I knew that she had really changed because she literally, on her XM satellite radio program, by the way, she has a magazine, she has XM satellite radio, she has a TV program, she's doing a class on the web right now, and next year she's going to have her own OWN, own Oprah Winfrey Network. We're going to be seeing this stuff just totally all over the place. I mean, it's already pretty amazing, but she's really stepped it up. But when she was interviewing Esther Hicks on her radio program, Esther Hicks was really the driving force behind The Secret. Esther Hicks channels an out-of-body entity named Abraham. When Oprah Winfrey literally interviewed Abraham, I knew that she had really gone over the line that she had sort of drawn over the years where she sort of seemed to interview people. Now she was involved in it. And on that program, she even said, "You know, I couldn't do this on TV. People on TV aren't ready for this yet." This has been a calculated effort. Oprah knew what she was doing back in 1987 when she talked about Eric Butterworth and man's divinity, and she's slowly been introducing this gradually and stepping it up. And now it kind of reminds me, you know, in basketball, Stan, where they do a full court press, or in football they do a blitz. It's like this is really strong. This is really coming at everybody right now, and I think it's really important that people understand that this is not, I hate to say it, but some Christian leaders like Rick Warren call the New Age the most illogical, irrational thing, a bunch of baloney. Those are Rick Warren's quotes. That's not exactly what you want to hear from somebody who's trying to protect the flock. One of his apologists refers to the New Age as a bunch of silliness. Well, I'm sorry, this is not silly. This is a false Christ moving onto the world scene with an antichrist philosophy that blasphemes the Lord Jesus Christ, and it demands some kind of a response. A loving response, but a strong response.
No question at all. And of course, what people don't understand is that Christianity is under attack. You can't attack it from without. It's too strong. But attack it from within. And little bit by little bit, introduce these ideas into people's minds, and pretty soon they will begin to accept this idea that, well, there's really nothing wrong after all. Since there is no hell, there is no sin, there is no need for redemption, and gradually their allegiance to Jesus Christ is replaced by the demonic spirit, which actually begins to take over control of them. People don't understand that there are some people who are demonically possessed. If you've never yet read the book we carry called Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin, it goes into five exorcisms carried out and verified by the Catholic Church. And it's so important that people understand that we are truly involved in a spiritual battle today for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, Warren, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
Yeah, I think that, you know, some of us, I mean, I got saved because Johanna Michelson wrote her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. It was sitting in the New Age section of a bookstore. I don't know whether some enterprising Christian put it there or the Lord just had it there one way or another, but right when my wife and I were dealing with, we were at the height of our New Age journey. We had just taught workshops in our Northern California town. We were spreading the New Age gospel, but all of a sudden we had to deal with an oppressive kind of thing that was just, we didn't understand it because in our New Age vocabulary, there was no evil. And anything like that was something that we created ourselves. So we went to our New Age books, like A Course in Miracles. We repeated our affirmations, you know, that we were the light of the world, that in our defenselessness our safety lied, my sinlessness protects me from all harm. You name it, we did all these affirmations. We sent love and light. We did everything that we were supposed to do to take responsibility, but this oppressive presence continued. And we were down at my wife's mom's for Christmas in Southern California, in the L.A. area, and this presence, we thought we'd get away from this presence, but it dogged us down there, particularly my wife. So when she was visiting a friend, I went to this little bookstore called the Either Or Bookstore in Hermosa Beach, and I was looking through the New Age healing section. I saw this title, The Beautiful Side of Evil, and because that sort of seemed like what we were dealing with, I pulled it out, and lo and behold, Johanna Michelson had a lot of similar experiences that we had, and I followed the book, and I was actually sitting on the floor taking notes when a man came off the street. I'd seen him a couple days previous. He was a homeless, mentally ill guy, and from what I could gather, and he came back to where I was reading the book, and he started screaming at me, "What are you doing with that book? Are you going to buy that book, or what are you doing?" And I sort of clutched the book to my chest, and I said to myself, "Does evil know that I'm reading about it?" I mean, this was like a real big kind of new understanding to me. This is bizarre. So I dealt with him. I've run homeless programs, so I just dealt with him, and he left. I continued taking notes, and Johanna Michelson had the most remarkable solution for dealing with evil. And the next day, when we were feeling this presence again, particularly again my wife, I said to her, "Joy, let's go out in the backyard. I want to try something different." Reading the words that Johanna Michelson had for the solution for dealing with evil, I looked right at what I felt was the presence that was around Joy, and I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be gone. I forbid your presence here. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ upon us. Go to where Jesus sends you." And whoosh, it was gone. And Joy said, "It's gone. What was that?" And I said, "I'm not entirely certain, but it has something to do with Jesus winning a victory over evil." And
hold that thought right there.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Sydney, our guest this evening is Warren Smith, and he was simply talking about how it was the writings of Johanna Michelson that really introduced him to this whole concept of the spiritual battle, and Johanna Michelson had told him how to actually deal with the demonic forces. Now, those of you who have not yet read Johanna's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, we have that. We even have a four-tape set of my interviews with Johanna, so suddenly it's called The Supernatural. 2 hours of that is Johanna telling her story, and of course, incidentally, Johanna Michelson is going to be our guest on October 26th. She'll be speaking here in the Monterey area at the annual Radio Liberty Conference, so I hope that you'll put that date aside, and if you can possibly can, Dr. Russell Blaylock is going to be here talking on health issues. Johanna will be here, and we're going to have a great lineup of speakers. That is the 26th of October. But before we go on, Warren, I want you to, I know you don't have a website, but where can people go to get information? And you actually have written two books, both of which we carry here. So why don't you give us a little rundown on your two books?
Sure. The Light That Was Dark, From the New Age to Amazing Grace, is my story of how I got involved in the New Age, and it takes the reader through my deception and right to the bookstore where I found Johanna Michelson's book, and getting saved. And that book is one. It also addresses directly A Course in Miracles, which is what Oprah Winfrey has Marianne Williamson teaching daily for an hour, three times a day on her XM satellite radio station. So the book speaks directly to the deception that's going on today, and I think it's helpful for people to understand the deception that's coming at the church and at people's friends, family, coworkers, neighbors today. So that's The Light That Was Dark from the New Age to Amazing Grace. The other book is Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church, and it shows the connections that have been made, showing the influence that Robert Schuller has had on Rick Warren, which really concerned me because Robert Schuller has been involved with... Robert Schuller had Course in Miracles groups meeting on the Crystal Cathedral campus at the same time pastors like Rick Warren were coming to learn how to have a big church. I mean, it's unbelievable. Schuller actually said about Jampolsky, he said, then he became a believer in God. That's a long story. Well, I told you the story. Jampolsky got tapped on the head by a peacock feather by Swami Muktananda, went out of body and had an occultic New Age experience, and that set him up for A Course in Miracles. So, of course, when I saw how influenced Rick Warren had been by Robert Schuller, how he was using phrases and terms, how he graduated from the Schuller Institute for Successful Church Leadership, all those things made me very uncomfortable, and the fact that Rick Warren has done very little in the way of warning seriously about the New Age. And I'm not talking about watch out for the New Age or some of the things he's saying, like it's the most illogical, irrational thing, a bunch of baloney. He's not speaking out, and the fact that he's kind of leeching into some of the Schuller-esque type stuff really concerned me. So that book not only talks about Rick Warren and Schuller, but it talks about the New Age plan, particularly after September 11th, I noticed that this push for world peace based on New Age principles is really gathering momentum. I think that's where Oprah and Marianne Williamson and a lot of them are going with that. I think there's increased pressure for people to accept these New Age beliefs, for all of us to come to one as a divine collective entity so that we can, you know, attain world peace, which, of course, the prophet Daniel warned about. In talking about Antichrist, he said, and by peace he, Antichrist, shall destroy many. He also said, Daniel said, that the Antichrist would destroy wonderfully. And that's really interesting because the prophet Jeremiah in 5th chapter, I think the 30th verse, said a wonderful and horrible thing is happening in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Oprah Winfrey, there's no nice way of saying this, is a false prophet. She's now teaching that we all have the Christ within, that there's Christ consciousness, that we're all divine, and she is regarded as being wonderful. And in some ways, you know, she's very caring and does some very good humanitarian gestures. But that doesn't mean that her spiritual teachings are accurate. She's as wrong as my wife and I were when we were in the New Age.
Well, I think, Warren, the thing that we have to warn our people about is there are a lot of people who say they believe in God, but we do not understand they're talking about a different God. There are a lot of people who say they believe in Christ, but they're talking about a different Christ, the Christ consciousness, the Christ that is within us. And what they're really talking about is this whole different religion, call it the New Age, call it the New Spirituality, call it Luciferianism, because really it is the gospel of Lucifer himself. But it's very real, and is one of the most powerful forces in our nation today. Well, let's quickly go to Evan, or Dan, I should say, who's calling from Bellflower in California. Hi, Dan. Do you have a question for our guest?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Fascinating show. This is probably the most important broadcast that I've heard. I listen to a lot of radio. I mean, this is so serious and so very... I thank you guys for doing this. My question is Rick Warren, did he come out with a new version of the Bible called The Message? Is that what it is called?
Well, I talk about that in the beginning of Deceived on Purpose. Rick Warren, the Bible, quote-unquote, the Message is not a Bible. It's supposedly a paraphrase. But what
right.
It really is the author, Eugene Peterson, sat down at home and just rewrote the Bible is basically what it comes down to. For instance, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Eugene Peterson, instead of saying in earth as it is in heaven, he says as above, so below. Dr. Stan could probably do a 3-hour show on that one, right, Stan?
Right. Of course, this is the occult statement. This is a term that is used over and over again by the occultists.
And it means that God is in everyone. It's God is immanent and God is in everyone. And the Message is the Bible, or the paraphrase Bible, that Rick Warren refers to more than any other Bible in his book. He calls it a paraphrase at the beginning of his book, but then you'll notice that he will be saying, the Bible says, and then he'll footnote it. When you go to the back of the book, it says the message. So I don't know if I don't recommend that you look through it, but I agree.
I was going to say that he takes entire portions of Scripture out of context from what I've heard. And
in fact, we have some excellent material. We have some programs. We have a 4-tape set on the Church Growth Movement and Rick Warren's movement. Rick Warren now belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations. He is a foreign policy advisor to the people in Rwanda and that tragic nation where there's been so much suffering now. He has a key position in controlling what's going on over there. Hey, anything else you want to say, Dan, before we let you go?
Just going to mention that about the Council on Foreign Relations and Rick Warren's membership. And I just wanted to say about the Council on Foreign Relations, if you look at their emblem, you know, there's a man riding a white horse.
Right.
That is their symbol, their emblem. But if you look carefully, he's using a hand signal that's the El Coronado, Hail Satan. And that white horse is in the book of Revelation. It's the first white horse. That is the Antichrist. That is their man.
And isn't it interesting that that would be their logo? You're absolutely right. I've taken their publications for many years, and this has actually probably only been their logo for about 30 of those years. I started 45 years ago subscribing to their medication, to their publication. Hey, thanks, Don. God bless you. And let's go to Tony calling from Spokane, Washington. I bet I know who this is. Hi, Tony. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine, except he just answered the question I was going to ask.
Okay, good. Well, go ahead.
Well, now I feel like a big dummy because he just answered it. My question was going to be about Rick Warren and the Council on Foreign Relations.
Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Warren?
Just pretty much echoing what you said, it's just unbelievable that he would be on that. We could sort of dovetail with a little bit more of an answer on the last question, if that's okay, on the message. One of the things that really concerned me about Eugene Peterson's The Message is that he does a paraphrase on Matthew 24, 3-5, and he says, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers." Well, the prophet Daniel said that the Antichrist is going to come in by peace. So if Peterson is translating that, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers," the Antichrist is going to go right under the radar because he's not going to be a doomsday deceiver. Who are doomsday deceivers? Well, probably like Dr. Stan, myself, you know. And so it sort of backfires. What Jesus really said in the Bible was, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am Christ.'" That's exactly what I believed. When I was studying the Course in Miracles, they teach you that you are Christ. What is Oprah teaching? That everyone has the Christ consciousness, that Christ is within. Oprah's teachings, the teachings I was involved in, fulfill the very prophecy, the very warning that Jesus has in Matthew 24, 3-5.
Okay, anything else, Tony?
I'd just like to mention one thing about Matthew 24 that I think that a lot of Christians miss. And that's when the disciples asked Jesus what would be the sign of his return. And in Matthew 24, he said that the sun would go dark, the sun would go dark, the moon would turn to blood, and the stars would fall from the heavens. And read the sixth seal, and it's the exact same thing. And I'm not going to say anything more than that.
All right, God bless. Good to hear from you.
You too, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye. And let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Ray, did you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, Warren, I'm sure you believe as well as I do that the Lord Jesus Christ has said to Pontius Pilate, he said that his kingdom was not of this earth. So, in a sense, these people like Oprah Winfrey and Rick Warren, they're trying to say that we can be our own judges. We can be our own saviors and messiahs. But Christ said explicitly that his kingdom was not of this earth.
All right. So do you have any thoughts on that?
And that's true. And I think what we're watching right now within a large segment of the church is that the world is being prepared for Christ's return as if we're just going to make this place, you know, into something that it's not.
No, it won't be.
We are certainly to be stewards of the environment. We're to be conscientious and to love our neighbors, even love our enemies, and to do all those things. But you're exactly right. And it's interesting, you're calling from Santa Cruz. There's a pastor in Santa Cruz by the name of Dan Kimball, who's actually a part of the emerging church movement And, you know, of all the places in the world where a pastor should be warning about the New Age, Santa Cruz, I mean, I live in California.
Yeah.
Santa Cruz is like the heart of the New Age. And you hear almost nothing from Dan Kimball. He actually has a book where he says, they like Jesus, but not the church.
Yes.
Well, what Jesus do they like? When I was in the New Age, I liked Jesus too. But, you know, the Apostle Paul chided the Corinthians and said, if another Jesus with another gospel, another spirit comes along, you might just go for it. And what Dr. Stan was saying before is we have to make sure when we say Jesus, we mean Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
He's Lord. And I'm coming from a Catholic viewpoint because I am a Catholic. And I do believe that Christ is the judge, the eternal judge. And I believe that he'll come in judgment. And I believe that the books will be opened and everybody will be judged accordingly to their own...
I agree with you, Ray. And
that's what I believe.
I believe that although the day is drawing increasingly close. Thanks so much for calling. And, of course, that was Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Let's not take any more calls. I certainly want Warren to have as much time as he can because I think his message is so vitally important. And, incidentally, we do carry, of course, both of his books, Deceived on Purpose, and then and the title of the first one again?
The Light That Was Dark.
The Light That Was Dark.
Amazing Grace. And, again, it was written from the perspective I start off when I see the psychic and I get pulled in. I take the reader through my own deception. The thing that it works pretty well because you can give it to somebody that's in the New Age and they will read along and they will identify with what I was going through just as I did with Johanna in her book. And so then they'll come into why I became aware of the fact that I was deceived and then how I got saved.
And I think really what's so interesting is that when you first became aware of this and your wife was demonically oppressed and you simply used the instructions from Johanna's book to actually declare, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, your power over the demons or his power over the demons and of course ordered them to leave and they left. And what I know, I've had exactly the same experience. I've been under demonic oppression and I'll never forget a minister saying, oh, well, of course you're demonically possessed. Here's what you do. And I used a very similar prayer, and the demons did leave. And people do not understand. Once they've given their life to Jesus Christ, we have tremendous power. Not our own, but it's God's power. But we can call upon that. We have to understand that battle is not imaginary, it's real. And we have to know exactly how to deal with these demonic spirits because they will do anything they can to draw a Christian away from his faith. And then, of course, once they've got them away from the faith, that individual has no defenses at all against this demonic force.
It all comes from the cross of Calvary where Jesus died for our sins. And in Hebrews 2:14, it says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And that is everything that the New Age is trying to do is they are going around the cross. You remember in the Course in Miracles, the Jesus of A Course in Miracles, the false Christ of A Course in Miracles, said that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The devil hates the cross of Calvary because on that cross, Jesus died for our sins and a deceived New Ager like myself can suddenly understand that a victory was won on that cross. The old hymns, you know, victory in Jesus, you know, a mighty fortress is our God. Those hymns had scripture wrapped up in them and victory wrapped up in them. And some people have asked, well, how could somebody who was in the New Age suddenly call on Jesus? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I really believe that if you recall that story of the it was with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch that was reading the book of Isaiah trying to understand it. And Philip came alongside and explained to him, and then the Ethiopian eunuch accepted what he said, accepted the Lord, and was baptized on the spot. I believe that Johanna, by bringing Scripture to my attention, when I read that Scripture, I believed what Johanna was telling me. I believed the Scripture, and I called upon the Lord. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So true. We need a Lord and Savior. I worked in a homeless program once, and there was a gal there who was not a believer. And she said, why do I need a Savior? And I said, well, Chris, maybe you don't. If you don't have anything you need to be saved from, you probably don't need a Savior. she looked at me and she went, whoa. And she was almost affronted by that, and she made her think a little bit. And later she became a believer because she realized that she did need a Savior. And there's something I think that a lot of people think that's kind of weird, you know, to have to need a Savior. Well, it's humbling, but we do. We can't make it on our own. We need help.
Amen to that. I guess it's been Warren Smith and talking certainly about the introduction to these occult ideas as they're being pushed by Oprah Winfrey and the people he's bringing on her program, and how this occult movement is permeating every aspect of our society and even the Christian church itself. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if there is no God, there is no purpose at all to live. Life really has no meaning. There is a God, and of course, but make sure that you're in touch with the right God, because believe me, there are demonic forces out there posing to represent Christ, and they're from the dark side. Well, Warren, why don't you go ahead? You've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program this evening.
Well, I think that if there's ever a time that we need to stand fast in our faith, it's now. The world is coming at us in a way that I could hardly believe. It's accelerating. It's exponential. It's just coming at lightning, breakneck speed through people like Oprah Winfrey and all these. It's one book after another. Eat, Pray, Love is like number one right now, and that's the same. It's another book that Oprah has popularized. So I think my encouragement would be that the more that the other side tips off what they're doing and lays out this false gospel, it gives us as believers a great opportunity to witness to our friends and neighbors and an opportunity to contend for the faith. We cannot stand idly by. There's many materials, including the ones that, you know, ones that we've written that Dr. Stan has mentioned on his program that we can give to people. But we need to do it in love. We don't want to, you know, be abrupt. We don't want to hit people over the head with this stuff. It doesn't work. But it's a time to really reach out, to pray for our friends. The world is coming to a crisis point, and I believe that the situation in the world has been carefully orchestrated. September 11th was not some isolated event. It reminds me of the old westerns where the bad guy shot at the good guy's foot and said, dance. And right now, humanity's kind of dancing with all this terrorism. And then, as we're dancing, we're being handed these books and teachings telling us how we can get out of this mess. And I believe that it's a spiritual trap. It's been warned about in the Bible. Jesus said that deception would be a sign of the end. We need to be aware of how that deception works. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul said, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And there are a number of resources out there. Dr. Stan's got tons of them. If some of these issues are not ones that you're strong in, get some of these materials. But more than anything, the Word of God is dependable. Don't let people like Oprah talk you out of the authority of the Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, said Jesus. We can depend on His Scripture. And it is our very life to be able to know the truth. And the truth does set us free.
Amen to that. Well, our guest this evening has been Warren Smith. And, of course, we've been talking about this movement, of course, being pushed by Oprah Winfrey, but certainly expanding into every aspect of our life and actually expanding into many of our mainline ministries. People don't understand that. The movement for the emerging church, the movement towards contemplative prayer, towards meditation, towards Christian yoga. All of these, of course, are means of taking us away from the scriptures. Thanks so very much, Warren. We'll look forward to having you again real soon.
Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been Warren Smith. And of course, we carry his books, From Darkness to Light, his book, Deceived on Purpose. And if you'd like to get those or to get a copy of the program this evening, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The girls there will tell you the suggested gift for these books. They're excellent books, which we recommend to you. And then, of course, we carry the book that he talked about that transformed his life. And, of course, it's a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. And, of course, we have one four-tape set with Johanna, and we recommend that to you. It's called The Supernatural, because Johanna was a medium. And of course, she eventually renounced that gift that she'd received from a relative, and of course, she became a wonderful spokesman for our Lord. Incidentally, as I mentioned earlier, Joanna will be speaking at our conferences here on the 26th of October, and if you can possibly make it, we hope that you'll be here. And then, of course, we carry another book. It's called Hostage to the Devil. It's the story of five exorcisms carried out by priests from the Catholic Church. The book is written by Father Malachi Martin. We have a four-tape set of interviews with Malachi Martin. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. So we have the information that will help you to understand what's going on. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have a DVD by our good friend Dr. Klink on. It's called Diapraxy, and it goes into the whole concept of altering Christianity through the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, these things are not happening by accident, and many people are being drawn into this, have no idea that, of course, they're in the latter days. There's going to be a great falling away from the scriptures, and the one thing we have to do is stay close to the scriptures and understand that they are the Word of God, and not get sidetracked on so many other issues. Let me simply suggest, if you would like to put things into their a true spiritual perspective and understand what's happening politically and why we get into wars and why our economy is collapsing, and let me suggest certainly my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Now, of course, we have things specifically on the economy. That would be my talk on the financial tsunami, but the overview is what you really need, and that's my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, let me recommend it to you. Or you can get the DVD, or if you're simply in a position you can't afford it, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, and you can punch in the area that says DVDs and videos, and you can watch it there for nothing. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can also certainly should get my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years from generation to generation, but never told to the common people. It was only told to the sages and the adepts and the leaders of the secret societies and the agents of the mystery religions. But, of course, that secret has been known to great philosophers in the past and spiritual and military leaders. It was known to Alexander the Great. And, of course, you will learn the secret when you get this talk, the forbidden secret. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get the four-tape or four-CD set we have on Rhonda Byrne's book and DVD, which is, of course, called The Secret Behind the Secret. Her book is called The Secret. Our four-tape set is called The Secret Behind the Secret. And, of course, basically, if you get the DVD that Rhonda's turned out, she will tell you this gets back to the secrets that were recorded by Hermes on the Emerald Plates. And, of course, this secret has been passed down for 5,000 years. What she says is absolutely true. The difference in our approach is that she thinks that you should try to get in touch with this other force, this other spirit out there, by applying the law of attraction. And our warning to you is do not try to approach this at all, because it is a demonic spirit. There is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.